Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 412 of Pixels and Ink, the official podcast of CG Magazine, where we take a critical eye to gaming, comics, tech, and media. I'm your host today, Chris DeHoog, and I'm joined by our editor-in-chief, Brendan Fry.
Hello.
Dana Eileen.
Ahoy, hoy.
And I don't have a good pun for being pictureless, but Jordan Biordi.
I'm picturelesque, if you will.
Cool. We'll just let that you works. Have that. We'll live from Brazil. What time
live
is it?
Live from sunny Brazil. The smiling friends went to Brazil.
Live from Brazil.
What time is it here? It's actually 9:54 here.
So super different.
So your time is like not that much different, and you're just a when you said it's late.
I'm surprised.
I mean, considering we typically start these things at like 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and then we don't finish till like 11. Yes, I'd be recording till 1 o'clock in the morning.
1 a.m. That's wild for you.
Because they don't observe daylight savings time here, so like the time never changes. So when we set the clock back, they go ahead 2 hours. The time difference normally is just 1 hour.
So Ed has entered the chat to say, "Baby," because he podcasts from like 3 a.m.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
That's all relevant.
I'm old. I need to sleep. Okay, I'm an old.
Ed is
geezer.
Younger. That's true. Well, younger.
Can we decide you're younger than me, or is he older?
I think.
Which
I
one? Think I said both.
No, Brendan. Brendan's the oldest. I think I'm second oldest.
No.
How old are you, Jordan?
Hey,
I'm 33.
35.
In April.
Yeah. You're the youngest.
Oh, that's right. I was the baby. I thought I was the second
34,
oldest.
34, sucker. Just
secret, Chris. I was.
That is not
Chris. I was giving you the benefit of the doubt.
Nah, I'm an old man.
You have a youthful glow about you.
Well, I appreciate that.
I just turned 34.
Nice. The big 34.
That's me.
Apparently face masks take like 3 or 5 years off my face, so.
I love that for
That's
me.
What I learned.
And not
Someone
me.
Was
I'm
shocked
all tired
that I had two kids,
eyes.
And I'm like.
I did grow, my beard grew back mostly, so it's a bit of a.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
It came back. We're good. I saw it. I saw it on TikTok. We're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Lots of good Brazilian things on TikTok. You know they have pizza flavored Doritos here?
That sounds amazing. Can you? I don't see you when you're in this country, but I was like, can you bring me some? Because I love pizza flavored Doritos.
I'll try.
Ship it to the
office. Cool stuff. I had Snickers with bacon and also one that was passion fruit. It was really good. And now
that's the TikTok I saw, except I didn't actually listen to any of it. I just immediately said beard and then I left.
Thank you.
Watching people eat freaks me out.
Good to know my fans are engaging with my content.
Yeah, I mean, I did engage. Just
I guess that's true. Okay. You helped that. You drove the algorithm. Anyway, what are we doing here, Chris?
Well, anyways, so tonight we are going to chat about the Game Award nominations, which came out this week. So we have the honor of being one of two Canadian outlets among the panel of judges on the jury for this year, which is pretty cool for us.
Along with, it's CBC, right?
CBC is the other one, yeah. So we're in good company there. But so we thought we'd kind of run through the Game of the Year and other award candidates, some of the more prominent ones at least. See what we can get through in an hour and see what we're thinking on some of these. Of course,
we're actually going to go an hour this time.
I have thoughts.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. But we're just a small part of our voting body for this, but this is our personal thoughts on these. So
small
don't take that as a don't place
any
bets based on our comments.
Yeah.
So
there's 30 of us.
Yeah. Some of these I think are going to be landslides, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
And not just from like our tallied votes, but from the whole panel. Yeah.
There's some games that just didn't stand a chance. We're like, oh, good little buddies.
Well, speaking of the hottest competition, though, let's start with the Game of the Year, which is the big show. So our candidates are A Plague Tale Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Now, how many of each of these have you guys played, though?
I have played at least two. I've got another one that I could check out beforehand. and possibly another one that can play before the awards come. Okay. But that's it for me.
Elden Ring, I've been around God of War quite a bit. I've played Forbidden West. I haven't played Stray, but I can. Xenoblade Chronicles is probably just not my favorite. And I have access to a Plague Tale, but I don't know. Wasn't that the one with all the rats?
That's the one with rats, yeah.
Big old rat fest.
So, gross. Yeah. The
I have played all of one.
All of one.
All of one.
Yep. It's
good.
Yeah. And you know what?
It's good.
It's, you know what? It's fine. Because that's the obvious winner. I've seen a lot of God of War on TikTok, and I'm trying to avoid as much as possible because I like want to genuinely enjoy it when I get my hands on it. I could definitely see the contest really coming down to Elden Ring and God of War, because like a Plague Tale is like really good and really well received, and I know like without like I haven't actually had a chance to play it myself, but like everyone I know who's talked about it, who's played it, said like it was absolutely amazing, both like technically, visually, thematically, like everything about it is solid. But then like, you know, compared to the other stuff, like I know, you know, some of us had a really big thing for Stray, but I kind of feel like it fell off the map very fast after it came out because the allure of ooh, to cat lulls was like not enough to build a game on. And people just like stop talking about it after a while. And Xenoblade is very niche. Like it kind of has its audience, but it's definitely not game of the year material. Whereas like, and Horizon too. Horizon was just like more of the same, as good as it was. And as technically stunning as it was, like it's just, okay, it's just more Horizon. You know, it was great when it came, but like Elden Ring was so like genuinely different from like other stuff in the Souls series that like I really can't see more like less people voting for it just based on like how well developed it was, how like approachable it was for like a Souls game, like the like how different it was, the kind of like the market it made when it came out. Like I don't know. I know it's all, it really is like comes down to a certain degree of subjectivity, but to me, like that's the obvious choice.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think it really will come down to those two. I think that's the two titans in the ring. On one hand, you got Elden Ring, which is multi-platform. It's been the one to beat all year long. Basically it's been like, once it came out, it's like game of the year. Mm-hmm. So now they've had to kind of defend it against God of War, which has the recency bias, but also isn't multi-platform. Like it's the big thing right now, so that could get a lot of votes for it. Mm-hmm. But it's also a smaller technical audience. I don't think the other one should be written off entirely. Like I could see an upset being possible, but very unlikely. Like last year, It Takes Two won Game of the Year.
Yeah, you know, like, what that is true.
Can happen. But that being said, I mean, Stray for me is actually like what I kind of want to vote for, because it's more than just to lull cat lulls. Like it was a really solid game, but it was a short one.
Being a jerk. I'm sorry.
Reductive. We'll say reductive. But a lot of the other ones, though, like I think Xenoblade should just be happy to be nominated, because that's a very niche thing. And I'm surprised it broke this high.
And I know a lot of people said that like, Xenoblade 3 like wasn't really that good, like, because I know like personally I did not like 2 at all, like narratively, structurally, the way that like everything, the way that like it was designed, like, and every enemy is just so like close together, you can't get into a fight without drawing some like level 70 behemoth and then just getting instantly killed. And like, yeah, the story sucked, dialogue sucked, everything about it sucked. Like as a follow-up to the first one, and even Xenoblade Chronicles X, which was like really good and really like cool for being so different, like 2 and 3 just like, I don't know, I don't think they had the same shine as like Xenoblade and X. Because
I've heard really good things about it, so it's kind of like some communities versus other ones, but
yeah.
Yeah, I haven't played much of the other two yet, so.
Because I was just about to say that, like, and that's another one too, where like it kind of came out and I don't, like, I didn't hear like anyone talk about it. Like, there was a couple of reviews. I know Dunkey did like a jokey review about it, and like that was it. It just fizzled out completely.
Well, yeah. That's hard to say, but that's like a total indicator too, right? Because like the people that I knew were playing it, like they went to ground to play the game and like came up like 3 weeks later, but like unshaven and uncapped, and like, just like what happened? Where was I? Like, I knew people who got lost in that game entirely. So it's hard to say, right? But I, again, against these two, I don't see it sending a chance.
Yeah, no. Maybe in like a best RPG section, maybe. But then again, too, like
we'll get to that one.
In that category as well.
We'll get to that one. I got thoughts on that one. But
as much as I would like to say that, like, the other games stand a chance, I don't think they do. So for me, it comes down to like what makes the game of the year for you? Is it that it's a new style game? Is it the story? Is it the graphics? Is it like what does it for you? All right.
Anyone? I don't want
to. I was leaving the floor open to other so people. At the same time, I was trying to get chocolate for my girlfriend. I think nice. like I said, I think it's like a whole like mix of things. Like it has to be like it's based on like how well like it was designed, its narrative, its style, like its playability, like and just like the like the way it sort of like came, right? Like the impact it had when it released, right? Because that's like I was saying, like there's been a lot of games like that I've noticed in not just like this year, but like the years prior that had like so much hype behind them. And then it was just like it released and then it was gone. Like I was thinking just the other day, a little unrelated, but I was thinking about No More Heroes 3, about how like there was so much buildup and so much excitement to that game coming out. And then like I genuinely didn't even realize when it came out. And this was back when I was still on Twitter. Like nobody talked about it.
Way back in the day. That's such a weird reference, Jordan. Way back when I was still on Twitter.
Back when I was still on Twitter, when it was not as much of a garbage fire as it is today.
I was going to say, that frame of reference has shifted drastically in the last few weeks.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So it's just like, it's stuff like that. Like people could have been like, oh, like, you know, there's a lot of buildup to some of these games, and then they just like, just completely disappear. But like to this day, you know, I still see people like, you know, certain sites posting articles about Elden Ring and still talking about the lore and still talking about like, oh, like rumored DLC is coming and this and that. Like, people are still trying to figure stuff out about it. You know,
okay,
what I mean?
But like when you say it like that, like it's a crazy thing. Talk about how many other games. Pick an Elder Scrolls game and how long we're still. How many times has Skyrim come out?
Yeah, when but that's did Skyrim different.
Come out? Like, no, it's not. That's, why is it different?
Because that's not people actually
except
like
Elden
wanting...
Ring hasn't been out for a year yet.
It's because that's not people particularly wanting to keep talking about Skyrim. It's that Bethesda's so effing greedy that they'll just keep releasing the same game instead of making new ones.
Completely incorrect.
And Todd Howard flat out said he would stop releasing Skyrim if people stopped buying it, but people don't.
Wow.
So your argument was it's not that people want it, but people keep buying it?
Yeah, because, you know,
it's a shit argument. They don't want it. They don't want it. They just keep doing it.
I don't want
it. People definitely want it. People definitely play it. And they mod it and they do a whole bunch of stuff to it. And that game's still going after how long? So to see people talking about Elden Ring in the year it came out makes sense. That's not outrageous. For a game of that size. Wow, Jordan's loud today. For a game of that size, yeah, see? Optimal. Now suck it. He was actually specifically who I was talking about. Yeah, like people love that game. Thrice
one time,
is what he said.
And yeah. I got a review code for the Switch version, and even that version, like I played it for like an hour, and I was like, wow, I forgot how much this game sucks.
Wow.
Why'd you get a code?
Because at the time I was like excited about it, and I think there was no one else for it.
So anyway, Jordan's in one of those moods today where none of us want to talk to him, is what I'm getting.
I will say
games are shit. Thanks, Jordan.
The Switch version definitely was the best way to play Skyrim, but like it does get really boring.
Really?
I'd say PC for the
mods. That's a way to.
Well, no, because you know why? Because if
even Xbox
mods
for mods and stuff now.
But like, we're getting way off topic. It was just because the way that Skyrim is designed as basically as it is, like there's no like real depth to it. It's very repetitive. Like it's really easy to pick it up on the Switch.
People that would argue that, Jordan.
Every quest is go to the same cavern and kill the same damn bandits. Now there's no diversity to it, but it's great on the Switch because you can have it in handheld and put on Netflix and turn your brain off and just not have to focus on Skyrim.
So then to bring us wildly back onto course then, Brendan, what's your kind of take on the criteria for game of the year?
I played a bit of Plague Tale. I've played a bit of God of War, but I think for a Horizon Forbidden West, if it had come out later in the year, it would be doing much better. But because it was released earlier this year, it just didn't stay in the zeitgeist like Elden Ring did for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. They were released very similar times, but it just didn't click with people. But I think it is going to be a battle between Elden Ring and God of War. God of War might have the advantage because it's super close to when that game came out. It's in what people's minds right now, so it might kind of edge away from Elden Ring, but then again, Elden Ring still gets the hits. It's some of our biggest articles are still how to kill that dragon at the beginning of the game. So, you know, people do still really love Elden Ring. And hell, Elon Musk was talking about Elden Ring yesterday. So there you
I don't throw it in the fire.
Can we ever, ever use that as a hey, it must be important ever again? Yeah. Like not in my life be a measurement of significance ever again.
No, remember he was talking about Elden Ring, like he was trying to be cool and relevant, and everyone was like pointing out how like shitty and basic his character build was and how like he actually sucked at the game.
It would have been no sense.
It's really basic. It made no sense.
Like,
or something.
He had like spells, but no stats into spell casting. Like, you do that.
That tracks. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like for me, it's like it's a combination of factors, right? Like, it's got to be like I want something that's innovative but still like accessible and you know have a great presentation and all that stuff. If you were to take everything else out of the competition but Elden Ring and Ragnarok, I think I'd go with Ragnarok because it doesn't hate players. Like Elden Ring has
it's more accessible. It's more all around. It, game,
like literally right? accessible and it's accessible. Like it's on both. Like,
yeah, it's you can like, play it and everyone can play it. That's
It's got that factor going for it. True. Sony's push for that has definitely paid off. Elden Ring has a niche. People love it. The people who love it are like a niche, and like you know, for me as someone who played it because everyone else was playing it and want to see what they're all talking about, I didn't enjoy it.
I think Elden Ring is more than a niche. It was a cultural like milestone for a lot of people. It did really like impact a lot of people. It was kind of like a Skyrim. It did. Yeah. It was one of the biggest sellers of that From Software has ever had. Yes, it's hard, but people really did kind of take to it. And the fact that people are still playing it now and people are still buying it now means that it isn't just a niche game. It's a game that did break into the mainstream. It's still a hard game that broke into the mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should say, like it came from a niche of the From Software thing, and it really definitely expanded that niche. It definitely made the Souls like thing a much more accessible or much more prominent. Yeah. I should say, not accessible because it's definitely not accessible. To be fair, again, it does also more accessible than other Souls games. Look at that. Because I tried Dark Souls 3 before and instantly just was done with it because it disrespects your time so much.
I was gonna say as much as it counts for anything to say it's like the most accessible and like the most playable of like the Soulsborne games, like it was also probably made better by the fact that like how well they and how seamlessly they integrated multiplayer into it, because that was another thing about the Souls games, was that like they always had multiplayer, but to do it was a bit of a process. Like this one was just like, and you, it was also required like consumable items. Like this one was just like, you know, you could just call up a friend, call up some friends, they'll jump in the game with you, and then you could just like tackle any quest, and it's just like, it's almost instantaneous. So like in that regard, they did try, I think, a little bit harder than the other ones to make it like so that it wasn't so like grueling, but it is still a very hard game. And then there's all, you know, there's a debate to be had maybe about like, you know, like, you know, it's difficulty versus like, you know, how much players are willing to sort of like try and like, and actually like get through it. But like, you know, that's a very fine line to walk, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely it's definitely not something that's for everybody. And I mean, God of War, mm-hmm. for different reasons, might not be everybody's cup of tea either thematically and stuff like that. But I don't know. I think I would go for that, but I voted for Stray.
Well, personally, and to your point there, Chris, too. I was going to say that like I think part of the reason too that God of War maybe like takes the win too is that it's like not just like solid gameplay, but it really is. It's like its narrative component is what really like sells it and makes it stand out, especially compared to previous like God of War games, right? Like, that's the thing that people really like look at it and go like this game is like ahead of everyone else just because of like how well developed the characters are, how good the voice acting is, like how dramatic it is, how emotional it is. Like, I was watching a clip on TikTok last night, and I was like actually like tearing up. I was like, holy shit, is God of War gonna make me cry a second time? Like, what world are we living in?
I still can't believe
David playing it. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I still can't believe that the last game 5 years ago was hailed as like this great emotional thing, because the games before were all smash, 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 boobs, like quick time event. It's now it's like, oh, it's like, actually a nuanced thing.
What did you just say? Smash, smash, smash. What? Yes, what?
You heard me. Boobs.
Oh, yeah.
It was. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to say booms, and I was.
Wasn't one of them like actually like an interactive cutscene where you.
You get health by sex. Yeah.
Yeah. It does the cheeky thing where like it like cuts away to like a
lose pause. Health,
it's just like it's like shaking. And...
yeah.
Anyway, I will point out that we have spent more than a quarter of our time on this one game, and there are 25 games. So
okay, let's go.
Yeah,
we'll move on.
I'm just giving you the heads up.
This was always going to be the big segment. I think we kind of covered game direction there into, because most of the games are the same. Just swap Xenoblade for Immortality and take Plague Tale off the list. Mm-hmm. Narrative too. Again, a lot of the same. There's a lot of repeat candidates here.
I don't even know Immortality.
Yeah, I don't know.
No idea which game that is.
Immortality.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm gonna
snuck up. I think it came out like a couple months ago.
Yeah, I didn't know that immortal? One.
We are woefully unprepared.
But yeah, these first few awards, so Game of the Year, Game Direction, Narrative, like Game Direction and Game Narrative make Game of the Year. Don't you think? Like, I feel like those are these two plus this equals this. So cool.
And then, yeah, Action Adventure 2 is like Plague Tale, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon, Stray, and then Tunic. So it's like a lot of copy paste going on at the start. I'd like to see Tunic win in a way, but.
Yeah.
Mostly because it has a few nominations, but sorry.
I'd like to see Brendan's just quiet in general. I'd like to see something else win. Like, I feel like God of War and Elden Ring are going to take a lot. So I feel like where it is due, please let these other people win something, because they do deserve it. It's not, you know, I feel comparing Tunic to Elden Ring might not be quite fair.
That is definitely not fair. That is not a equal comparison. One is a game that costs millions of dollars to make. One is probably not.
It's Elden Ring, right?
That one, like, all year long, right? Like, all year long I've been thinking like, yeah, well, this isn't going to stand a chance against Elden Ring, like for half the games that have come out. Like, yeah, no one's going to care compared to Elden Ring when it comes time for this voting. So
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I think to that point, as that Brendan was saying, like as a counter argument, I don't think like dollars spent and like size of team equates the time to a good game. You know what I mean? Like
oh, Jordan, I don't either. It's just, it isn't like really a fair
comparison. Those two comparisons are
in this particular case.
I think it will not have the market share. It will not have the mind share. Like a game that a few people played and thought was cute is not going to compete against a multi-million-dollar trans global franchise. It's just probably not, because wouldn't have the, like, people aren't going to consider it the same plate. Doesn't saying that's fair. I mean, it's like in the movie space, it's also the same way. It's hard to think of a small indie movie competing against a Marvel movie. Probably the Marvel movie is going to do better at the box office. Just what's going to happen?
Okay, you're not wrong.
That being said, this is the kind of category where I think Tunic's community could rally and push it to win this category.
Because
the people.
Does anybody in the comments have an opinion for best action adventure? Why don't we get the whole, like?
Get in there. Yeah, but like the people that I've heard,
it's like six people in all my family.
The people that I know that or have heard of on like other podcasts and stuff that have played Tunic have adored it. So like I think the passion could come through.
And especially like I love what it did too with like the actual like in-game like manual book too. That's kind of where like you know, like again, you know, where I guess what I was kind of saying like earlier a little bit, like where a lot of these games, like they had huge budgets and they had like marketability and people saw like we're gonna see it and get it a lot easier than they were gonna get something like Tunic. But like, you know, like Horizon, you know, again, like Horizon looks really good. It's impressive in scope, but you know, from what I remember of people, like, you know, of like critics talking about it, they're just saying like, it's a lot more of the same, right? Even like God of War Ragnarok, one of the main criticisms I heard from a lot of people is that just like it, like even like the combat from a gameplay perspective, it just feels too much like the 2018 one, and it didn't really innovate that much. Not necessarily that it needed to reinvent the wheel, but it's like, that's probably the weakest thing about it, or like the meanest thing you can say about it as a criticism, is that it doesn't advance all the good it did in the first one, right? But like something like Tunic that was actually trying to be a little bit different, that was like inspired, you know, very clearly inspired by Zelda, but all, like, paying homage, but also kind of being its own little thing, and it had, you know, its own unique art style, and it stands out in its own way. Like, you know, it does deserve that kind of acclaim. It should, you know, and winning an award like for best action adventure, it's worth it to give it to some of these indie games that are actually like trying a little bit harder to like make their mark than a lot of these AAA games that are just playing it safe because, you know, they have the ability to do that and they know what sells.
Yeah, to kind of tie it back to what Brandon was saying a minute ago about the budgets, like I think there's a certain dollar to impact ratio. Like Tunic was built with a smaller team, smaller budget, probably had a bigger impact dollar to, you know, results. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, it doesn't translate to visibility or, you know, the buzz that something they got to wear Ragnarok gets.
One of the things I'm wondering too now is like, you know, because when Tunic first came out, it was kind of like an Xbox exclusive, but then they brought it to the Switch. So how much could that have affected how many people actually saw it and got their hands on it and played it and was able to like actually like fall in love with it?
If it had landed on Switch first, I think it would have had a bigger.
Oh, it would have been. Sure. Oh yeah, 100%.
Anyways, we should keep moving here. This category, best role playing, Elden Ring, Live Alive, Pokemon Legends Arceus, Triangle Strategy, Xenoblade Chronicles 3. One of these things is not like the other.
You mean good?
Hey now.
Sorry. I'll stop.
How much you want to bet Jordan's girlfriend's watching him, and that's why he's so boisterous right now?
That's
so
purely in jest. Purely in jest.
Reductionist. You said the magic word. So Elden Ring. I don't think this totally belongs here. So RPG elements bleed into a lot of other games.
All of them.
It's become a natural thing. And Elden Ring has RPG elements. I would not call it an RPG, though, solely. It has a strong RPG element.
Well,
the gameplay itself is like hardly even like an action RPG, I would say.
I would argue with you on that very intensely, because every other entry in this category is very pointedly a JRPG, whereas Elden Ring is probably the truest form of RPG that's actually on the list, because it, like, by the definition of the name,
is a JRPG not still an RPG?
No, because JRPGs typically like have fixed stories and fixed characters, and they have like the elements of RPGs where you're like, you know, you turn-based battles and you get experience and you level up, but you're not actually playing.
I don't know, like,
role. Like when you consider like the term like role-playing game, like back to its truest roots, like D&D and stuff, like Elden Ring. Like has classes, but it also gives you the class where you can build your character the way you want to build it and like actually play the role you want to play. So yeah, it's probably the truest form of RPG compared to the other form.
I hardly agree with that one, but
I mean, I wouldn't even call Arceus an RPG. It's just an animal catching game.
I mean, like of this list, I think Live Alive and Xenoblade are like the truest, purest like RPG effects on here. Like Live Alive, you're literally playing different roles. The whole thing is you're in this role, and then you're in this role, and then you're in this role in different time periods. That's the whole premise of that.
Those
game.
Are playing roles.
Yeah, that's exactly. But you're not choosing the role.
The,
you know what I mean?
The whole element of the RPGs, like gameplay, like whether it's turn based or action based, Elden Ring doesn't really have that. It's much more an action game. Most RPGs totally do not have that ultra precise timing that you need to have for Elden Ring and other Souls-like games. Typically people played turn-based games because they didn't want to play those like action-based games all the time. Like that was usually like a diversion. Like you went to the arcade and you played, you know, shoot 'em ups, and you came home and you played Dragon Quest or whatever, right? Like it was there's two different tone shifts there, and Elden Ring is so much more in the action thing, in the action realm with an RPG engine behind part of it. It just doesn't belong in here, and it's gonna blow the whole thing, call it the whole competition, I think.
See, I don't know if I agree with that, because again, yeah, like Elden Ring leads hard into like the sort of the instant action, as opposed to like other, you know, the other entries which are either turn based or like real time turn based. But like every like level that you gain in Elden Ring, every skill point that you put in a certain place, the way you build your character is going to affect how you approach every fight. Mm-hmm. So it's not just pure action where you can go in there and just mash away and eventually you'll win. Like if you build a character that has really terrible like magic defense, and then you go into the magic area and you start fighting bosses who are using magic, you're going to get killed like instantly, because you're not like the way you built your character doesn't suit that. So you have to find a way around that, which is still that same level of strategy and like character development that you're going to put into any other RPG.
Yeah, I just still doesn't sit right with me, but
it's because you're the one person here who doesn't like Elden Ring.
But I'm not the only one.
Dana loved it, but she just doesn't play games.
Oh yeah, it was so great. I Brendan, did you watch me play it? I walked into a giant horseman and went nope and walked away.
For me,
when I consider an RPG, would be like the games that I play, like Skyrim, like Fable. To me, that's what an RPG would be. Now, mind you, a lot of these other games, they're just not my style of game.
Yeah.
We all know we're not going to catch me playing Triangle Strategy Pokemon. Is it Live Alive? Live Alive. I hate it all.
Yeah.
Like, those aren't games that I'm going to play. I don't think it's up for debate what they are. The industry has spoken. I think Elden Ring will probably win. But I don't necessarily think that it's the RPG there.
What was like
RPG is rough territory.
I think it was like 2015 where we had this it was Brendan Quinn and what's her name? they had this huge fight because again, like the nominations for RPG was like Bloodborne and like Witcher 3, okay. And she was saying that Witcher 3 was the better RPG, and Brendan just like lost his mind about it.
Again, yeah, I haven't played Bloodborne, but Souls games are not RPGs to me at the slightest. There's all the RPG stuff in there, but it's much more about the action than it is like that kind of combat for me. But
I think it is, I
agree, it's probably going to run away with it. Sorry, Brendan.
It does. You are building that character, and that is important.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that aspect like, is there, it, but like, it's what you do with the character afterwards, right?
In comparison to say, like again, like to go just to circle back to that, like in comparison to a game like The Witcher 3, right? Like The Witcher 3 is probably far more action oriented because you don't like there's no real way to build the character of Geralt that like where like it, you know, just being really good at the combat, knowing how to time blocks and just like mashing away with the sword is gonna like get you through most encounters, right? But like compare that to something like Bloodborne, where like it actually really does matter how you build your character and where you put your stats, like to approach every right. single combat encounter. Like that to me is far
this
more
is
like
the
never RPG ending designed.
Debate with
I was
us,
gonna
though.
Say okay. we're not
this is the never ending debate, and it okay. and like we've got Optimal. He said, is Assassin's Creed an RPG? Because he'd put Elden Ring in the same category. There's a skill tree in Jedi Fallen Order. Is that an RPG? World of Warcraft, I've designed my character. Is that an RPG? No.
I mean,
so it's messy.
To its credit.
It's messy.
To its credit, Optimal. To its credit, Fallen Order took a lot from Dark Souls. Okay.
It's an action Souls like well,
yeah, it borrowed a lot from. So yeah, it's probably more in line with
But
RPG.
When you think about it, the entire purpose of video games now anyway, like they started off as Pong, but now the entire point of video games is to play a role that is not yourself. So it is a role-playing game, no matter what you do. And there is never going to be an answer to this debate.
I don't know.
It's just, it is what it is. And it makes things like this kind of messy. But I'm pretty sure Elden Ring's going to win anyway. And we're at half our time. So
we'll keep moving and we'll see that for another.
Moving along.
Time or editorial.
We'll have one entire
best fighting. Best fighting skill, we got DNF Duel, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, The King of Fighters 15, Multiversus, and Sifu.
I think Sifu is a weird thing to be on this list because it's not really a fighting.
Oh, does it not
game?
Fit the category?
Yeah, kind of. Okay, but this is like it really
isn't that frustrating?
Fit the category. It's because
I've actually seen other people saying this too.
You know what I mean? It's like when you
seen
think
people
about
say
best
what you're saying.
Fighting, it's like it's you're more, thinking, yeah, I know you were. Yeah, exactly. Like
Brandon, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, Sifu is very much an action game. It is kind of like mm-hmm. a Souls-like.
The fighting is like
it's
most
really hard. Yeah, like, the fighting. Yeah. Like it wouldn't describe
like,
it as a fighting
it, it's,
game.
It's,
like, the fighting game would be
yeah,
like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Like one versus one. Yeah.
When you think fighting,
but that's
game,
more. Wouldn't that be more of an arcade fighting game?
No,
well,
it's
like
a
it's not like it's like you're in an arena just to fight. Like there's a whole other action element to Sifu that's not just the combat.
Yeah, like I'm watching animation. A little bit of the gameplay right now just because obviously this is not my jam.
Yeah,
but
it's
I mean
very...
the way that it works. Nope, I'm gonna finish talking.
Okay, sorry.
The way that it works, like there's a score when you're hitting, there's multipliers, there's things like that, and I think it's that is what they're taking into it being a fighting game. It's not just go in, punch this guy until he dies, but there's combos, there's like that kind of thing, and I think that might be why it's bridging over into the fighting game category.
But
now you may speak.
But I mean, by that logic, like we've never seen like Devil May Cry go into a fighting category, or like even like this year Bayonetta 3 doesn't land in fighting game, even though it's sort of the same concept. There's punching and kicking,
but you know what, only five games did, so maybe that many people didn't vote for it. It's not because it doesn't fit, it's because hundreds of outlets voted and that one didn't win.
Well, surprised to speak through there, but yeah.
I guess like in if you, like by t- like in terms of like a technicality, sure, but I think like Brendan was kind of saying too, like when you think fighting game, you think like tournament fighter, you know, like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, yeah. King of mm-hmm. Fighters, like all those games that like where the actual mm-hmm. design of the game was like 1v1 or, you know, 2v2, whatever, like fighting, you know, the way it's done, like it has been all this time. And Sifu is like the fighting is its core mechanic, sure, but it's definitely more of an action game with like linear
design. I totally agree when you think fighting game that you think those games, just to be clear. I'm just trying to justify why maybe it made the way on there, but that's just as vague as role-playing game then. I don't know that I've played a video game that I haven't been fighting things. So
I think the one to beat in this room is Multiversus, though. Like, that's kind of,
you think,
the standout popularity.
It's the one I've heard the most about.
Mm-hmm. I think I would take King of Fighters 15 myself, but that's gonna
be the one. I can't believe that the Smash Killer Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl didn't make the list.
Who? Oh.
Lego Brawl is actually a pretty cool game. Lego Brawl is actually pretty cool. I played that at Summer Game Fest. It's fun. I like, you design your character though, so I don't know. Maybe it's a role playing game.
Like, yeah, I've actually heard good things. Well, there was that other game, wasn't it, Slam Down or Slam City or whatever it was called, where you like wrestle. It's like that kind of game. Like, that didn't make the list. I'm sure there had to be like some indie game out there, like fighting game that someone made that was actually pretty good. Like, I don't know. It's a weird choice. But yeah,
How many people made DFN Duel? Like, holy crap. I'm just looking at like all the different groups that made that one game.
9 billion.
It's mostly an Arc System Works thing.
It was actually three-quarters of the world.
Yeah.
Gotta give credit where credit's due, I guess. I think that's gonna be Multiversus.
I would say
that's the game I've heard about the most.
Yeah. I would love to see King of Fighters take it, because like King of Fighters is a legacy fighter, and like it's been so long since we had like a real like modern version of it on accessible consoles. Like, this is the first time I can even like remember seeing a King of Fighters like coming out like on a modern console.
At least for the last few years, it's 14 came out. Yeah.
Yeah, like, so that would be the one to me, because like, again, it's kind of the thing with Multiverses where like, you know, like I was saying earlier, like it came, people were excited about it, but then it kind of feels like it fizzled out the same way that like jokingly we were taking the piss a little bit, but it was kind of the same thing too with like the Nickelodeon thing, where like there was a lot of big talk from people on social media about how, oh, this is going to be the Smash Bros. Killer. It's got this really good net code that the people who did that modded version of Melee use, and they're going to respect the online community, and they're going to respect tournaments and all that shit like that. And then nobody was talking about it a week after it came out, because it wasn't as good as Smash Bros. Is.
I'm going to jump into any of those games and mash all the buttons, and that's as good as it's going to get. Just leave it alone.
The biggest thing that broke it immediately was that it didn't have voice acting. Like, you had all these iconic characters with iconic voices, and they didn't have the ready for launch. Shot themselves in the foot on that one big time. But we'll keep chugging along here. The next one is Best Family. This could be an interesting one. We got Kirby and the Forgotten Land, Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope, Nintendo Switch Sports, and Splatoon 3.
Mm-hmm.
My vote is Kirby, but that's because I played it in a family sense, actually. Like, I played it all the way through with my daughter, like in co-op mode, and I think that's a really good experience for families. But
I love a good Lego game.
Mm-hmm. Kirby's gonna be strong. I think Star Wars will be this tough.
My son is actually playing Mario.
Oh, Rabbit, really?
Yeah,
my son's playing Mario right now on his own, apparently. He surprised me. I threw it on his Switch and I assumed he wouldn't do anything. And he's like, I play Mario. I'm like, oh, sorry, sir. But for me, yeah, it would be Lego Star Wars. I love me a good Lego game. I don't even need my family for it. I don't really need my kids. I just need like another adult that I can yell at when we try to split the screen. Although, but I just need to fight with someone for a while.
Because Splatoon 3 was like fine, but it's definitely not like a family game in the sense that, like, I guess depending on like what the parameters of family games are, like Chris was saying, like you couldn't sit down with your like kid and really play Splatoon. Like
couldn't play it together, literally. Unless you have two
Switches. You literally cannot play it together. Like, even the quote unquote local multiplayer, everyone needs to have their own Switch and a copy of the game.
So I mean, that doesn't necessarily stop it from being a family game, though. I mean, if you want to talk about how many Switches are in my house currently, I mean, yes, that's because we're fortunate and I'm spoiled rotten. But there's lots of people that do that, even if they don't have. Now, I don't know about Splatoon. Can you play Splatoon on the Switch Lite?
I
don't know how it works.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
I didn't.
I wouldn't want to play only in handheld mode, but you can, I believe.
But yeah. A lot of people might get their kids the Switch Lite, right? So there's options, and that doesn't negate it from being a family game. It may limit things, but you can also consider a family game a game kids can play. It's not necessarily that mom has to play with baby or mom and dad have to play together. It's that it is safe for the family. It is something they can do together or alone.
Because my interpretation of like best family game was like the kind of game that like a bunch of people could sit down together and play together, and it's like there's not a lot of barriers to entry. Like you can load up Kirby and have like two people, or is it exclusively two? I
didn't play the
multiplayer at all. Yeah, you know, or like Lego Star Wars, where you can sit down like, you know, with in the same room together with one console and a couple controllers and play the game. And it's not like, you know, maybe you are, you know, this bourgeoisie living in the clouds while the peasants only get to have one Switch. But the face data made. but that's what I mean. Like, it's like there are you know, barriers to entry that way with certain games like that, where it's like, if you can't have, you know, four Switches and four copies of the game, because it's gonna really add up.
Yeah, that's four copies of the game becomes the problem for me. The 74 Switches I'm good with. I don't want to buy the game more than once, though. But
that's what I'm saying.
Like, right? I'm the boss on my son's Switch, so he plays my games. So whatever. So that seems to work.
I kind of agree with you, Dana. I think Lego Star Wars is probably the best choice, because like it is super fun. It's really easy to jump into. Like, the scope of it is humongous. It's like every single star. So it's not just that you're getting a fun like Lego game that kids and even adults are gonna like have a good time playing. It's literally every single Star Wars movie in a game.
Yeah, and in some ways that might be.
Now, Chris, my question for you.
Yeah.
Because you have Wii humans and you played Kirby. Obviously, your daughter liked it, but she's a little bit younger. Do you think if she was like 12 or 13, she'd want to sit down and play that with you?
Depends on the kid, I think.
It would be lame.
With what I think she'll be like as a 12-year-old, I think she'd still be into it, because it's Kirby's cutesy, but it's not like super saccharine cutesy. Like, it's accessible.
Right.
I find it's in a niche where like it's totally fine for adults to like it and totally fine for little kids to like it, but I feel like that middle ground, people are like, that's lame. And I'm like,
teenage hormones want people too proud to play it if they're like 13. Now that's lame. It's for babies. But no, there's a certain universality to this game in particular. I think, especially with the way they handle certain environments and themes and stuff like that, that I think it would be accessible to a broader age. But yeah, it really hit a sweet spot in my household. But same thing with like Lego Star Wars, right? Like, my kids are familiar with Star Wars because I'm a big Star Wars fan. I don't think it would gain as much traction with them, but I'd be happy if either one of these won, because family games to me as a genre always seems like a weird dump it in that category thing. Like, oh, it's cutesy and kids might enjoy it.
If kids can look at it, then it's fine.
Yeah, it's like it's God of War. Oh, we can't put that in that category. Let's put this in there. Like, it's everything that's not bloody goes into the family games. So I'd like to see it go to a game that has that kind of family co-op element. Like, I wish Nintendo Switch Sports had, but it's just fine as it is. Yeah. it's there. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
I'm just Nintendo Switch Sports just takes me back to like the Wii, and that was really cool for like a minute. But then I was like, okay. I'm done now.
It's for a rainy day. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, there. It's still there. All right.
You just wait. You wait till they add golf. Then it's going to be a game changer. Literally.
Yeah, we're still waiting on that one.
Still waiting for golf.
Yeah, actually. Very good call. Anyway.
Let's keep chugging.
You're welcome.
I think we can kind of glaze over the next couple. Best Sim Strategy, Dune Spice Wars, Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope, Total War, Warhammer 3, Two Point Campus, and Victoria 3.
I mean, I think Two Point Campus or Total War would be my things. I don't think Wario Rabbids is... I guess it's...
Mario, dear God.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love a Wario Rabbids game.
And then Dune Spice War. That's still in, is that fully out now? Or is it still early access?
I think it has to be fully out to be nominated.
I gotta figure that out now.
Doesn't matter. We don't have time to Google right now. yeah, I liked Two Point Campus. I played. It was a lot of fun. It was something that, like, had I not been reviewing it and not been reviewing 400 things after, I probably would have kept playing.
It's an early access game.
Why is that allowed then?
Huh. Well, it's out fully now, though. It's there's a physical release and everything. Like, it came out.
It's still listed as an early access game.
Really?
Weird.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
Cool. Come back. Sports game.
Let's go back. Sports racing. F1 22, FIFA 23, NBA 2K 23, Gran Turismo 7, and Ollie Worlds.
Oh.
I'm like really impressed that there's a like people are putting Ollie World in the same category as these like ultra realistic games. That's exciting for me. That makes me happy. Mm-hmm. All right,
yeah, that's kind of why. That's kind of the one I want to see. I think it's great. That's definitely the one I want to see win because, yeah, like it is super cool and unique, and even the first two Ollie were like really like fun, really well designed like arcade style skateboarding games. And like whereas like all these other games, it's like NBA, FIFA, it's just like okay, it's the next one. Who gives a shit? Gran Turismo, I think like maybe in terms of like technical. Like scope because it was that was exclusively for PS5 if I'm not mistaken. I don't follow any sports games, so forgive me for not knowing. But like that's gonna be like showing off like the capability of the PS5 and like that, and it was kind of the Gran Turismo's thing all the time was to be like, look at our graphics, mortal.
And like, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful game.
Yeah, it's an amazing but there's a lot of people looking game.
There's a lot of people that are upset that they keep grouping these two things together. The interwebs is angry because they keep saying sports and racing are the same and they're not. Like how do you compare FIFA to Gran Turismo? I literally like
sport.
Yeah, I guess, but they're not comparable to me in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because otherwise the genre would be like if you were to split sports into one thing and racing into another, you'd have one standout title and you'd have a bunch of other ones that are like just kind of there, much like other much like other categories. But I feel like the difference between like, you know, like FIFA.
I mean, there's a million sports games. You got NHL, you've got Madden, you've got FIFA, you've got NBA. Like, pick a sport, you've got them, right? MLB, you've got all of those. And there's a few, like half of this list is racing games. So, I mean, there are enough, but
racing would definitely benefit more from being split off, but then you'd end up with like the most boring category of being sports. And like, that's also one of the biggest selling categories for games. So it's like, yeah, it's
true. I guess we are shitting on an entire giant gaming community that is esports. Yeah. God, who wants to play a sports game? Oh, the whole world. Shut up, Dana.
To be fair, they shit on themselves as much as everyone else does from the outside. So no one hates
when I think esports, I still think like Fortnite. Like, I still think that kind of stuff. I don't think actual sports when I hear esports. So, anywho.
Speaking of, Fortnite didn't make this next list, but best multiplayer, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Multiverses, Overwatch 2, Splatoon 3, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge.
I went with Multiverses on this.
I
went
Multiverses, yeah.
I went for Shredder's Revenge, personally, but...
That's fair.
Multiverses, I think, is definitely going to be a strong contender, though, because, yeah, like we said, it was a big sensation.
I'd be surprised, like, technically, like Call of Duty is right there. Like that's not a small game, but it doesn't even faze me. I'm just like, meh.
Yeah, exactly. Meh. Right?
You know, that's how I feel about it. Yeah,
because I mean,
look at it. I'm like, this one seems more fun.
That was the whole thing with because like Call of Duty, I was never gonna play, so like that one was off the list for me. Multiverses again, it's like why I don't want to play it. Like, I already have Smash Bros. Overwatch 2, I've heard nothing but like kind of middling things about it, like in comparison to the first one. Splatoon 3, I love, but there's no denying that the online, like the core component of how its multiplayer works, is absolute dog shit. And I would have to go with Chris on this. Like, Shredder's Revenge is like just like this absolute like brilliantly crafted, like beautiful to look at, like just, and this is complete love letter to the games that like not only did we used to play, like, you know, you get a couple friends together and go to the arcade to play like Turtles in Time or whatever, like to actually sit down on the like the SNES or the Genesis and play like the home versions or the Manhattan, was it the Manhattan Project?
Something like that, yeah.
Or like the Hyperstone Heist, like these were like the Ninja Turtles, like was in terms of gaming was always synonymous with like really tight multiplayer. So that's why I would love to see Shredder's Revenge take it.
I will say that like of all these games, yeah, Shredder's Revenge is the only one that's maybe want to like grab friends and play it. Like, mm-hmm. I wish it was a little more deep, but it definitely inspired the multiplayer vibes for me. So that's wins for me. Most anticipated. Final Fantasy 16, Hogwarts Legacy, Resident Evil 4, Starfield, and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
I feel like all four of us are going to go with a different one on this.
Okay, you first.
This is my guess. Okay, so it's going to be Zelda, obviously. I don't know if that's obvious. If everything surrounding Hogwarts wasn't so questionable, it probably would have gone that way. Yep. But I can't, in good faith, be like, this is the best. I can't get behind it. But I think it's a really cool concept, and I think that the game would have been awesome if it came out like, many years before all these bad things happened.
Yeah.
Or if your money from the sales like, going in a certain direction. But
Yes, exactly. Like, Brendan? I feel like, yeah.
Me? Starfield, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, I don't
really. That surprised me.
Switch isn't my primary system, so I wouldn't say Zelda. Resident Evil 4. I'm less excited for that.
That would have been my guess for you.
The other ones, Hogwarts, the reasons Dana just said, and I'm not really a Final Fantasy person, so that would be my statement.
Jordan.
Okay. Well, this may shock you.
It's Batman, isn't it?
It's what? Batman.
100% Batman.
I knew it. It was always Batman.
It's Elden
no, Ring. You know,
Cyberpunk DLC always, actually.
Yeah, Cyberpunk DLC. That's it. Biomutant 2.
It's Animal Crossing.
Paid DLC, by the way.
Yeah,
it's always Animal been Crossing. Animal Crossing. Shit, no, again. I actually am probably the most excited for Final Fantasy. I love the look. I love this. I love the like the the stage.
Genuinely shocked.
You know why? Because that's the thing is that like sure, you know, I love Breath of the Wild as much as the next guy, but like it's most likely just gonna be more Breath of the Wild, like and if they don't fix
Breath
and
of I'm the worried, Wild,
they won't. Yeah, like if I'm kind of genuinely worried they're not gonna fix any of the problems that the first one had.
Okay.
Like the breakable weapons.
I didn't
and
play
the
it religiously
like
enough for there to be Okay.
Oh no! It's no.
I'm catching up now. I didn't know what the problems were. I wasn't here for that.
If you play it long enough, like every weapon shattering like glass after 10 hits.
Oh yeah.
Including the Master Sword, it gets tiring really fast. So it's like I'm kind of worried they're not going to fix any of those problems. So it's just going to be like, oh, it's going to be more Breath of the Wild, which is like great. I'm here for that. But like in terms of a game that actually looks and like looks different, is going to feel hopefully very different. The combat looks insane. Like it 16 has my vote. Like yeah, like I'm dying to play that one.
Yeah, 16 is no surprise mine also, but I'm very excited for Tears of the Kingdom, but and I do think it's going to run away with the vote on this one. But we also don't know much about it, and I'm happy about that. I'm glad I know nothing about it. I would walk into that game this minute knowing what I know and nothing else and be totally happy with it. Probably happier than I would be if I knew everything beforehand. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to play the crap out of it when it comes, but Final Fantasy 16 is my big one that looks fantastic from what we've seen, and they keep whetting my appetite more and more. And
And it's really cool to see like a Final Fantasy like a newer Final Fantasy on a modern system that's actually like genuinely going back to the sort of like swords and sorcery style that started it. Like whereas like a lot of the newer Final Fantasies up to from 7 up to like 15 have been more like techno punk kind of like sci-fi fantasy, like something that. That's genuine swords and sorcery, like is a very like nice return to form.
Yeah, definitely. And strong deal vibes to like some of the other more medieval games like Tactics and 12. So
yeah.
We'll see more on that in the months to come though, because we're gonna get a big dump at the end of the year with more info. Let's jump down to best adaptation, which is a wider genre. We've got Arcane, League of Legends.
Brendan has seen more of these than anybody.
Arcane, League of Legends, Cyberpunk, Edge Runners, The Cuphead Show, I should say, exclamation mark. Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and Uncharted.
I've seen none of them.
Cyberpunk, Edgerunner or Arcane would be my go.
Yeah, one of those is definitely going to win. Doesn't matter what I think. One of those is going to win.
I liked the Cuphead Show a lot. I'm still, like, I still got to watch the new season, and there's a third season on its way. I think my vote lies with, and I kind of feel like this might be the come around from behind victory is going to be Sonic 2, because I genuinely thought it was a really fun movie. It was a lot better than the first one, and it was like really smart to sort of like not focus on the humans, like do a lot more with Sonic as a character, do a lot with Knuckles, like, you know, introducing like Tails, you know, and even like Jim Carrey's performance as Robotnik was like so much more like comically sinister than he was in the first one. Like he actually genuinely felt like the cartoon version of Robotnik. Like all the pieces worked together. It wasn't a perfect movie, but like as far as video game adaptations went, especially for Sonic the Hedgehog, it was like I think as close to perfect as we're going to get, unless the third one comes out and just blows everything out of the water because they're bringing Shadow into it. So,
But it might not have Jim Carrey. So it's like, is it going to be the same?
Yeah.
We'll see. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 gets my vote too for a lot of the same reasons you mentioned. I do think they spent too much time dwelling on the humans for about a good 10 minutes in the middle there where there was no animated characters on screen. Other than that, though, like amazing adaptation. I'm so pleased with how the climax ended up and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That being said,
Are just going to be excited about something good coming out of Cyberpunk the first time around.
This comes down to like Elden Ring versus God of War recency bias thing again, right? Arcane came out almost a year ago and it was like the biggest thing. It would have won if you'd taken the poll right then. Now we've got Cyberpunk, which is close to people's memories and stuff like that. It's got that recency bias, so it's gonna be between those two, but I think Sonic has a stronger chance than anything in the Game of the Year category has to beating Elden Ring or God of War Ragnarok. But I don't see too many votes going to Uncharted.
No.
I was shocked that was on there. I didn't hear anybody say anything good about Uncharted when it came out.
It came out.
Maybe Tom Holland's just going to be going to be at the Game Awards, so they're like, oh, crap, we've got to put this in there. That's what happened. It's Tom Holland, right? Did I screw that up? I feel like they did that just to make sure he's there.
It's Tom Holland. He just comes across the stage all mopey like Michael Cera in Arrested Development and just come out fast. And okay.
Guys, what's going on?
I think we'll hop over to an audience question to round off here. Green Owl asked, which game would shock y'all if it won the Game of the Year award?
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Plague Tale.
Honestly, anything other than Elden Ring or God of War right now would be a blow.
I think Horizon would shock me the most, not because it wasn't worth it, but because it was so far back now that most people that I talked to were like, oh, that's within the range, even though it came out at the same time as Elden Ring. So I think that would be my, that's what I got.
That's fair.
Yeah, because Elden Ring literally came out right afterwards and stole its thunder, and then God of War kind of did what it did arguably better. So if it was to win, I would be amazed. But anything other than those two is going to be big.
Yeah, no, it would definitely be Xenoblade for me. Of all the things, like Stray wouldn't surprise me because, you know, everybody loves cats. Like Horizon, everybody loves big open world sandboxes. God of War is God of War, and like even like a Plague Tale, like as like a like an indie game with like a lot to say and like a lot, you know, a lot of heart put behind it, and just like how much it did with a little. I could see that being that kind of like surprise win, but Xenoblade, if that one game of year, I would just like throw something through a screen. Like,
I don't know. There's a stronger jury presence from Japan than I realized. I kind of thought that it was a blind spot, that this is mostly like a Western media thing, but you got 4Gamer, Dengeki, Famitsu, and a bunch of other ones. Like that, you know, it all depends on the vote, the audience voting goes.
And keep in mind, there's also audience voting. So, dun dun.
Anything's possible, but if Xenoblade or Plague Tale takes it, I'll owe somebody $500 probably.
I'll eat my hat.
Live on stream.
Wait, are we betting on these guys? No. Office pool.
Yeah, I'm not betting anything but those two titans. I know I'm taking a chance.
Maybe we'll consider finishing this up next week because we have more than half the awards still.
Well, a lot of we get much to say about esports and such like that, but there's a few other interesting categories we could consider. But that's going to do it for us for this week. If you'd like to read more on the Game Awards, you can check out some coverage on the website, as well as a bunch of other topics at cgmagonline.com. Be sure to follow CG Magazine on all the socials. Just search CG Mag, you'll find us. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send them to podcast@cgmagonline.com. Jordan, where can people find you?
You can
in Brazil.
Check out, you can come down to Brazil, fly down. I'll be here. I'll just be signing shirts and whatnot.
Waiting at the airport. That's cool.
Don't worry.
That's where he is. He's I love the terminal.
Yeah, I live here now. I'm like Tom Hanks in that movie.
The terminal. I just said that. Ugh.
Yeah. I thought you meant literally the terminal.
No, the movie is called The Terminal.
Yeah, that's why it's confusing. You can check out my stuff on YouTube.
No, it's not.
Let him finish.
Where can you? Let me know.
On YouTube at Ninja Jordan Reviews. There's a bit of a hiatus right now, but there's old videos you can watch. You can find me eating Brazilian snacks on TikTok and drawing stuff on Instagram at NinjaXJordan. And that's all.
That's true. You can find me not in Brazil and not at an airport now.
Yes, we know that, Kahari. We know that. The guys that in the terminal just died. The real character.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's really depressing, and I didn't know that at all. Ugh, edit this part out later, guys.
I do. It just happened. So.
I didn't know it was still a thing, I guess. Anywho, follow me on socials, because that's cool. At the Dana Eileen in some places. Twitter.
Some places.
And Instagram. TikTok, too, but I don't recommend that. It's not good for anybody.
No. Brendan.
I'm B526 and everything.
And you can find me on pretty much everything at Hoogathy or here on Twitch at Guild 2 Taps. Speaking of which, my final plug, tomorrow in 23 hours, we're doing our Extra Life Marathon, raising money for children's hospitals by playing games for 24 hours. So you can check out the stream at twitch.tv/Guild2Taps. We'll links to donations and stuff like that. And the benefits are going to the children's hospitals in London, Ontario and Toronto, both of which are heavily strained right now and could use your support more than ever. So if you're able to check it out, please do.
They had my back.
They've had a lot of people's backs that I've known, and I'm glad that they are there if I ever need them to have my back. So
and they could read more about it on the site because you did a lovely article.
I did. Nice. There is a thing there. So one more thing. I'll do it for us this week, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks for tuning in.